All right. Is everybody in Ephesians? Yes. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33. Last week, this is the third week in our series of the family and marriage. How many of you guys have enjoyed it so far? All right. Good. I'm glad. So I know that a lot of husbands complained last week. They got a lot of elbows in the ribs from stuff I said. So I will definitely take it easy since it's Mother's Day. But I think it's very important to know your role in the family. A family is kind of like a team. I coached high school basketball for a number of years, and one of the things that I drilled into each and every player was know your position. Know your job, know what you're supposed to be doing. Because if you don't know what you're doing, there's a sixth man on the bench that has memorized your spot, and he will gladly take it from you. And so whenever you I put out the team and I call out number one or two or three play, every person has a spot that they go to and has a pick that they have to set or a person they have to pass it to or a place on the court where they have to go to. And if that didn't happen, if I didn't give them plays, if I didn't give them particular places that they needed to be, then they would go out there and it'd just be chaos. It'd be people running into one another. It would be they would be fouling each other. Everybody be complaining that this person's in my way and that person's in my way. And so just like a well-oiled team, a family has their positions. And whenever we line up in those positions, whenever we realize that what God has said to us concerning marriage and our place in marriage, it begins to bring a blessing and not a curse. Amen? Because sometimes we are operating outside our sphere of position. I get in basketball, the guards would be my number one guy. And every time that he got out of position, I would be all over him. And the reason why I'd be all over him is because if he didn't know where to go or what to do or who to pass it to or to look to, then the whole play is shot. The whole play is blown. And so we too, as a family, as husbands and wives, need to know where we fit in and what our job is so that it will bring blessing and order to our house. Amen? Talked last week about, the first week, about the role of the family, what a biblically based, defined family looks like. And then the second week, we talked about the role of the husband. And the first thing that I said was the greatest tragedy ever known to mankind is a husband that does not know his role and advocates his role to someone else. It's a tragedy. That's why we need men of courage. Men are that are courageous to stand the post, to guard our families, to love our wives, to love and guide our children, and not hand it off to our overloaded wife already. We talked about the importance of the role of as the husband being the priest of the home and not the lord over. Amen. But the priest, one that prays, one that loves, one that is sensitive, one that leads and guides his family into righteousness. I'm not talking about a husband that is perfect. How many husbands are perfect this morning? Right. Yeah. Ross, your wife is not here with you, so I hope she listens to the podcast after this one. But today, and yet, you know, last week I talked about the role of the husband and all the things that come along with God's blessing concerning the husband taking his rightful place. And today I want to talk to wives today and talk to you about what your role is, where your place is, because God has uniquely designed you. Ladies, say this: I am uniquely designed. No one else can do your job. No one else can fill your slot except for you, because God has uniquely designed you that way. So let's pray this morning and we'll get into it. Father, I come before you in Jesus' name and I thank you so much for the privilege of speaking your word today. And I ask, Lord, that you would anoint me to teach your word clearly. I pray, Father, that you would anoint every single heart, every single spirit, every single mind today to receive your word, God. May it be revelation. May it be life to every single hearer today. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you guys ever heard that song, R-E-S-P-E-C-T? Ever heard that song? Yeah, there you go, Romy. Go ahead and sing that song, brother. The issue I want to talk to you today is the issue of respect for your husband. I want you to understand that I'm not saying to ignore all the shortcomings. I'm not trying to say that. Or do whatever he tells you to do, regardless if it's good for your family or not. I'm not saying to do that. But I'm talking about a healthy, strong, biblical dose of respect. That's what I'm talking about today. Now, what I was talking about concerning following him regardless of what he does, that's not a scriptural view of what marriage is all about. But the Bible does command wives to respect their husbands, just like it commands husbands to love their wives. Modern culture, especially television, especially commercials, especially beer commercials, they're always downplaying the role of the husband in the family. They make him out to look like a babbling buffoon, an idiot, someone that can't put his shoes on without having his wife there to lay out his shoes for him. Guys, if your wives lay out your shoes, just keep that quiet, all right? But you look at the commercials and you look at the sitcoms and you look at all of these different things that the media is throwing at us, and they're saying that, then they're downplaying the role of the husband. They make it to where that the husband really isn't needed. A husband really isn't essential. That women can do it all. And trust me, ladies, you're highly favored, highly gifted. And yes, you can do a lot, but you cannot do it effectively by yourself. Can I get an amen this morning? Amen. Ladies, as we go through this today, I want you to hear me loud and clear, okay? Your respect for your husband will affect the strength and success of your marriage. And to the degree you respect your husband, you can expect a weakening and walking toward failure of your marriage. Ladies, you play such a key role in our success as men. You do. That's why the Bible says whenever we came together and Adam looked at Eve and he said, "This is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." In other words, he can't tell the difference because the two are one. And they're so closely knit together that there's no other person in the entire world that can be closer than a husband and wife. Because the Bible, God has declared to us in the Word of God that there's nothing closer, there's nothing more unique than a husband and wife and in marriage. And so I hope you'll catch what I believe God wants to tell you today from a very short passage of Scripture here. Let's read it together, Ephesians 5, verse 33. It says, "However, each one of you also must love your wives, just as he loves himself. And the wife must respect her husband." Respect can be, it can be a loaded term, okay? It can. So I want to be clear and define it for you, what it means. Respect is both a noun and a verb. It means high or special regard or consider worthy of high regard. That's what respect is. A husband can't demand respect. He can lead in fear. He can manipulate, but he can never truly demand respect. Respect can only be freely given and earned. Amen? Every man should have said amen. Because respect is a precious, powerful thing that a wife can give to her husband. It's that respect. Ladies, I know that all husbands can be jerks sometimes. And some husbands are jerks all the time. And the only answer to that is for God to do a miracle in his life. To do a miracle in his life. And hey, look, we'll get to that just in a minute. So how can a wife show respect to her husband? I'm going to give you three different ways. Number one, allow him to lead. Allow him to lead. I just lost some of you. It's hard. It's really hard. Because for some wives, you've been the one leading the family for upteen years. That's all you know is leading. And maybe, husbands, you have stepped back and advocated your role to your wife. We talked about that last week. I'm not going to double dip, okay? But in the same regard, I know it can be scary. It's scary. But allow him to lead. The bottom line is God is holding him responsible for the direction, right or wrong, in your family. He is. God is holding him responsible. Husbands, God is holding you responsible for the direction of your family. Wives, it is not your job. Wives say, it is not my job. It's not your job. Now, is your job to give input? Is your job, is your voice valid? Is your opinion worthy of respect? You better believe it. Because whenever I need help with a decision or whether I need someone to give me counsel, I always go to Dana first. Always. Men, if you're seeking counsel about your family from everyone else but your wives, you need to start going back to the counsel of your wives. Because wives give good counsel. They love their families. That's what they're about. It's ingrained in them. And so go to them. Ask their opinion. Don't just make an opinion or a decision and then talk to her about it later. But instead, go to her first. Value her opinion. And when you do that, she will give you unfounded favor and respect. Amen? Now, that, ladies, is a huge burden for a man that understands that. You can allow him to lead by understanding your unique role as a helpmate. Everybody say helpmate. Only a woman created in the image of God can fulfill the role of the helpmate, of that position. Now, I talked to you about a basketball team and about the plays and about coming together and watching the coach and going, play three, all right? But if you call an audible during the play, then that creates confusion. It creates confusion because someone's saying this and the coach is saying that, but this person is saying this, and so before you know it, the play's blown and the ball's been stolen and the other team has made two down the court. And so that's why it's important that everyone know their role, everyone know their position. And please don't ever think of a helpmate as anything other than an honored and an honorable task that God has uniquely equipped and gifted you to do. He has uniquely gifted you to do that. And I encourage you to do that. Look, I know in our modern times, in our modern ages, that families are complicated. Some of us come from blended families. Some of us come from broken homes. Some of us come from backgrounds where we never had a father in the home. Or maybe you were raised by your dad. Or maybe you were just raised by your mother and you've never seen this operate. Maybe you've gotten married and you've been raised up in that and you've never seen what a family's supposed to look like. I encourage you to do this. That's why a church family is so vitally important. Because we draw from one another, amen? And if you've never seen that model before, maybe you've gotten married and you're having trouble in your marriage because you don't know how to be a wife or you don't know how to be a husband, I encourage you to get involved in your church family so that you can see the godly husbands and wives that know how to honor one another and go to them and say, I need help, amen? Because when you belong to a church family, you're not in it by yourself any longer. You know how you have people to draw from, people to encourage you, people to pray for you and not judge you. Amen? Let me say that again. And not judge you. Now, I'm not telling you to go seek counsel from every Tom, Dick, and Harry around the country. That's not what I'm saying. But when you see a family in the church that models respect, that models priesthood, that models a right home, and you're having troubles and issues, go up to them privately and say, listen, I noticed that you have your home in order and that you love your wife and she loves you and there's respect there. Can we have coffee? Can we come over? Can I talk with you? Do you have 10 minutes? Usually it's about an hour. But do you have time that I can talk with you? And those that are modeling that, families that are modeling that and have your families in check and that everything's healthy in your home and you're modeling a biblically defined marriage, be open to those questions. Be open. Listen, watch my lips. Saying I don't know is not an answer. I tell my kids that all the time. Well, how did that happen, son? I don't know. It's not an answer. Someone comes up to you and says, look, I noticed that this is going on and you seem to have a good handle on this. I'm struggling in this area. Could you help me? Could you help me? That's what church family's all about, right? So that we're not in this by ourselves, but that we can pull and draw from one another. That's the beauty of the body of Christ, is that some of you may be the leg, and some of you may be the hands and the fingers, some of you may be the feet and the mouths and the ears, and we can all pull from one another and say, hey, teach me how to do this. That's the beauty of the body of Christ. Amen? Now, the second thing that I want to talk to you about concerning respect for your husbands is, and Dana, if you come up and help me with this one, encourage him privately and publicly. And Dana's going to share just a minute about that. There you go.
Give me a couple minutes. There's not a lot of times that I get up here and speak, as you can tell if you've been around for a while, because it's not my thing come up and teach, but this to me is very dear to my heart because marriage I hold in high regard. And I know that as goes the marriage, so goes the church. As goes the church, so goes our nation. So the foundation is us, and we have to get it right. So here's kind of an attitude that I've seen a lot in the sphere of women is, my husband may be the head, but I'm the neck that turns the head. How many of you seen that or heard that before? Yeah. To a point, it is true, but there's also some caution with that. And why I say that is because, yes, your husband is the head. But we as wives, we as women, we have influence. And there's a difference between manipulation and influence. And there's a lot of women that will try to manipulate your husbands to make a decision that you've already formulated in your mind. And you're trying to, with emotion or whatever it is that you can do, to try to turn him to come alongside on your, on whatever you have chosen already. But if we call ourselves Christians and we are godly women, we are to influence our husbands through what the Word of God says and encouraging them, giving them biblical counsel so that the two of you become one and you both come to a conclusion together. When your husband's at work, a lot of times he may get compliments all day long saying, hey, you did a good job. And coworkers are saying, yeah, we really couldn't do it without you. He comes home and one negative word from you can blow it all out the water. How many of you have? Well, don't raise your hand if you did that. I have done that. I have. No. But the thing is, we as women and wives, we have to understand how powerful our words are. There is so much power in our tongue. Men, too, that's why the Bible says you cannot tame it. There's power in that. So we have to be so careful what we say. Are we going to mess up? Are we going to make mistakes? Yeah. That's just how it is. We're human. But we have to also be quick to forgive. Have short accounts and be quick to forgive. In the book of Proverbs, it says, the wise woman builds her house, but disgraceful wife is like decay in his bones. So a wife can either be building up or tearing down to her husband. Watch how you talk to him privately, publicly, and in front of the children. That's a big thing. And I'll give you a little personal story of mine. Recently, Jimmy and I were in a little argument. Started off just little. And you know how it gets. Kind of builds up, and you know, you start to see attitudes come out, and then you want to defend yourself, so you're like, oh yeah, well, let me tell you something. So yeah, so that's how it's going on, and you know, we're not perfect, thank God. So we can model that before you. So as it's going on, you know, it's kind of like you forget where you're at, and you forget who's around you, and you just start letting, you know, just the negative words fly. And then, you know, as I'm talking, I'm not realizing, yeah, Christian's up in his bedroom with the door open, and he's hearing us argue, which it happens. And I just told Jimmy, you know, I said, oh, yeah, well, just shut up, you know? That's what I said. So, and when I got done, I just kind of stopped, and he's like, yep, that was good. I said, yeah, I know. I said, I just saw that. I said, he's up there listening to all this going on. So we called him down because he was actually grounded, so keep that to yourself. So we had to talk to him anyway. But as he came down, I had to humble myself. And I told him, I said, Christian, I know that you heard us arguing just now. And I said, I just want you to know that I said, I disrespected your dad just then. And that's not easy to say. I mean, my goodness, because you're having to, you know, tell your child that, yeah, I made a mistake, and you're humbling yourself to your child. So I said, yeah, and I want to tell you that I'm sorry for doing that. And to him, he's just like, okay, whatever, who cares? But it was something that he needed to hear, something that he needed to see, because how I treat him, he's going to see that. And he's going to expect that, too, when he gets into a relationship and soon later on decides to marry a wife. He's going to say, well, I saw that my mom was quick to forgive, and she was quick to, you know, to treat my dad nice. So I would expect my wife to do that, too. And this is how I'm supposed to treat my wife. So very important to apologize, to humble yourself when needed, who's ever around. Jimmy talked about respect not being earned. True. It's not only earned, but it should also be unconditional, like love. Rather than waiting on husbands to change, women often need to make the first step. And most men really want to please their wives and enjoy a happy marriage, but they just don't know how to get there. Women, you know, I talked to you about influence is a very, very big thing. And yeah, your husbands want to lead. They want to be the priest of the home and everything else. But if we constantly step into that role, what we're doing is we're usurping that authority from them. And what we need to do is not say, well, when he proves to me that he's worthy of my respect, that's when I'll give it to him. No, love and respect go hand in hand. If you want your husband to respect you or want to love you, you need to give him respect. Because if one of you doesn't make that decision, you know what it is? It's a constant circle that goes round and round and round. And it will never stop until somebody says, you know what, I'm making the change today that we're not going to keep on doing this. You know what, whether you do it or not, I'm going to say, you know what, I'm going to give you the respect. And knowing that the power of your prayers for your husband are huge, and they avail much. So if your husband is not where he's supposed to be just yet, you need to pray for him and intercede for him. And that is the highest level of love that you can give him. And as you do that, you are covering him, and what you're doing, you're taking your hands off, and you're saying, Lord, I'm trusting you to do something in him that I can't do, and I'm not going to do. And when you start to see changes in your husband, all the glory is going to go to him, because you know that God was the only one who could do that. Mm-hmm. And out of that, your husband is going to love you right back.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Dana. Very good. Dana told me not to make a big deal about her speaking, but I couldn't help it. Didn't she do a good job? Might lose my job. Hey now. Hey Jack, watch out now. Oh man. So the second thing is to speak well of your husband, both in public and privately. You know, Dana was talking to me the other day about a person that she was talking to, and said that, you know, she had to go home to her good-for-nothing husband. And you know what? That's the attitude sometimes that we have. And sometimes, ladies, showing respect to your husbands means not saying something that you want to say really bad. You soak that in a little bit. That's really hard to do. But you know what? Being a family is a tough job. And sometimes we fail. Sometimes we fall short. Sometimes we say things that we don't mean to say, and even though it felt good to say it then, it burns us right after we say it, and we wish we could take it back. And so the third thing that I want to talk to you today, and Dana touched on it just a second ago, the third way you can show respect for your husband is to pray for him. Pray for him. Now, I've asked Jonathan if he would come up and share just a minute about the value of prayer in the home. And one of the things that I've, because they're new believers, and they went through the discipleship course, and so they're learning things. And going through things, learning, growing. And one of the things that I challenged him to do was to pray over his wife. And then weeks later, I asked how that was going, and he said, I hadn't quite done it yet. But you know what? And that's not to his discredit. Listen to me, guys. It's a lot of guys don't realize the value and the power of prayer over your wives. And so Jonathan has since been doing that now for a little while, and I asked him if he would share what the dynamic is in his house concerning prayer. So Jonathan, would you come up and share just a second?
He is true. I did not listen to him right away at all. And guys, there's nothing wrong with that because it's completely out of the ordinary to do. Anyway, since then I have been praying with Jill. And it has truly been something that opened up between us things that we never saw before, never realized that closeness in our relationship. And I will admit we had some very rocky times that it didn't look like we were going to be here today. But it really brought on the differences in opening ourselves up that we just didn't know that we could do with each other. And yeah, it was completely out of the ordinary. That first time was a little hard to get through. It was kind of like talking up here today. I wasn't 100% sure I was going to be doing this. But it, in time, it becomes more natural, and I'm getting used to it more, and it's part of me and who I want to be.
And amen.
I enjoy it.
Hold on. When you started praying in the afternoons, what do you do? How do you do it? When you gather your family around? Okay. You guys, what's wrong with y'all? when you gather your kids around, right? At night?
Well, at night we gather our kids. Normally it's in one of their bedrooms on the floor. And the biggest thing for Easter, from the Easter Bunny, Jalen got 365 Devotions to Jesus book for kids. And we read that to them every night for the devotion for that day or the next day. And then we do our prayer time with them, which we sit in a circle, and little humorous thing with Kaysen, seeing him growing with it, is he always asked to pray for Jesus, which was kind of hard to understand what he meant, but looking at it, it's kind of thanking him for everything that we've done today. And now, out of humor, he wants always to pray for Pastor Jimmy to get him a sheepie, and now a lion.
A lion now.
Wherever that means, I haven't figured out yet. But I mean, we've been going, we're praying over them, and just kind of asking them what they want to pray for today. What is something that they want prayed over them, or something that they want to pray about, and then lead the prayer through that. And it's been every night that it has to be done. Now last night I had Jill ended up praying over the kids. I didn't get to put them to bed because of some issues with her van. But when we went on the men's weekend, I did a FaceTime with the family to do that. It made it where it's something that they want and they ask for each night. And then Jill and I have our times during our night before we go to bed. Funny thing, too, is the prayer that we've been saying over meals, Kaysen has memorized it.
Has he?
He's 3 years old. He memorized our dinner prayer. I think before my wife did. But it's just amazing that what we are doing, that our kids are even picking up from and learning and going with that.
Wow. And when you prayed over your wife the first time, did you say it was awkward? Was it awkward?
Yes, it was.
But you made it through it, right?
Yes, I did.
Jill, was it awkward when he prayed over you that first time? You guys, give it up for a courageous man. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Again, the reason why I wanted to do that is to show you the power prayer can do to a family and a home. It changes the entire dynamic of your home. Because what we don't realize sometimes is that we're raising up future mothers and future fathers. And so we need to teach them how to love our spouses. Amen? How to love our wife, how to love our husband, how to respect our husband, how to respect our wives, how to pray over meals, how to have circle time at night, right? That's what they call it, circle time. And how to pray, because we teach our boys at home how to pray. We don't just sit down and say, okay, so boys, this is how you pray. We model it in front of them. Christian, yesterday was, it was Joshua. He was feeling bad. I forget what the issue was, but I set him down in the kitchen floor, and we sat down and we prayed together. And the reason why I did that is to show them that their help doesn't always come from mom and dad. It comes from the Lord. And the sooner that they understand where their help lies and where their help comes from, then we will not lose them when they go off to college, because we are losing kids that are going off to college that are abandoning their faith the first year of college at an alarming rate. Almost 80% of kids that go off to college abandon their faith because we have a lot of liberal thinking in college today. Had someone in Florida, a professor, who got in a lot of trouble that asked them to do a project right there in the classroom and said, everybody write Jesus Christ on a piece of paper. Now put it in the floor. Now stomp on it. And every single student did it but one. And that one courageous young man changed that school and their policy by standing up for the cause of Christ. And you guys need to realize, mothers and fathers, that we need to raise up strong and courageous children so that when they grow up and they leave our care, even though they may fumble and fall and stumble, but at the end result is they'll be strong men and women of God, courageous in their faith. Amen? Courageous in their faith. Now, if there is anyone in your life that needs prayer, ladies, it's your husband. Here are some things that you can pray for your husband about: his spiritual health. Pray for his spiritual health. Pray for him that God would strengthen him and encourage him, that he would get revelation from reading God's word, that he would hear his voice when he prays. He would answer, that he would answer his prayers. Pray for him. Pray for his spiritual health. Now, also, I know that not every husband is a Christian. Not every husband is a believer. I told this story again, but it bears repeating. There was a lady who had prayed and prayed and prayed over her husband for years to get saved. Years. And for years, she felt like those prayers were seemingly going unanswered. One day she heard her pastor talk about courageous prayer, having big faith. And so she went home one day and she was like, big faith, what can I do to show big faith so that my husband will come to know the Lord? So she was getting ready one Sunday morning and she was in the closet and she was putting on her clothes and she looked over to her husband's side and she saw his suit. And it dawned on her. She said, I'm going to bring his suit and his shoes to church and I'm going to set them beside me every single Sunday until he fills this suit and he's right beside me. Some people would say she's crazy. Some people say she has a few screws loose. And you know, at first, her church family were like, yes, that's awesome faith. That's what I'm talking about. As time went on, she kept laying that suit out, and she had put it right beside her in the front row, lay it out, put his shoes down at the bottom, and she just believed that one day he was going to fill that suit. And months went by, and the people went from yes to going, oh, that poor lady, look at her. She's praying, and I just don't know if it's going to go answered. Somebody needs to talk to her. But yet, that kind of discouragement did not hinder her prayers. She came faithfully every single Sunday with her husband's suit next beside her. One day, as she was getting ready, she went to grab her husband's suit and realized it wasn't there. She looked to the right, and there her husband was with the suit on. And she said, where are you going? He goes, I'm going to church with you today. I thought I would go today. And she said, okay. In the inside, she was leaping. She was jumping. She was about to come out of her skin. She was so excited. And when they got into the parking lot, some of the people that were coming in the church was looking, and they recognized the suit but didn't recognize him. And as they came in and they walked down to the front row, everybody started hushing as this empty suit was filled with this man they had never met before. And all of a sudden, there was clamoring going on. And as the music started playing and the pastor started giving his message and the praise and worship leader came up and started playing the music and the altar service was open and he gave an altar call and said, if there's anyone here today that doesn't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, I encourage you to come immediately. And that man, without hesitation, sprung to the front of the church, knelt down on his knees and wept openly and gave his life to Jesus. Now, who was it? Who was involved at leading this man to the Lord? It was his faithful wife. She jumped with enthusiasm, praised God and hugged him. Tears soaked both sides of his suit coat. She was so excited. Her church family got up and came to the front and began to welcome him and encourage him and bless them both. And he got baptized and is serving the Lord. But it was because of the faithful prayers of his wife, because she did not give up on him. And we need to do the exact same thing. We need to pray continuously. Maybe your husband isn't saved. Maybe he doesn't go to church. Maybe just because you go to church doesn't mean you're saved. Amen. Just because you're in a garage doesn't make you a car. And so people say, well, you know, I'm not going to come to church because, the ceiling may fall down, may come in on me, you know. And that's why we build churches strong today. That's why we reinforce those rafters for sinners, right? For sinners. But we need to don't give up. If you feel like that your husband is, every time that you pray, he continues to get further and further away, know this, God is drawing him. God is wooing him. He is pulling on him. He is tugging on him. That is the fight between him and the Lord, not you. Amen? Because your prayers are affecting much. It's availing much. I say this all the time. I wish God would give us a glimpse into the heavenlies, into the Spirit, when our prayers are spoken out of our mouth. Because our prayers are powerful. Our prayers pull down strongholds. Our prayers hold back the enemy. It is like a guard and a shield for the enemy that throws his arrows at us. It penetrates the heart of man. It penetrates the heavenlies. It gets to the ears of the Father. Your prayers avail much. Amen? So when it looks the bleakest, when it looks the darkest, and you don't see that this wily person of a husband that you've married is never going to receive Christ, hold on fast, because God is coming on your defense. Amen? And listen to me, you're not alone. I said this earlier. You're not alone. You have a church family. Reach out. Say, listen, I need prayer. I need faith like this woman did that brought her suit every single Sunday. I need prayer like that to get my husband to not only come to church, but to receive Christ as Lord. Amen. You know, a lot of ladies says, you know, it'd be a miracle if my husband ever got saved. Well, you know what? It's to your benefit that our God specializes in miracles. Amen. Amen. It's only God that can change a heart of a man. It's only God that can change the heart and the will of a man, that can change the very nature and being of a man. It's only God. It's not you and your manipulation, and it's not you and your nagging. It's not you and scheming. It's not you. It's not any of those things, but it's your prayer, the prayer of a righteous man. Now that word man is generic for His creation, His people. The fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Amen? The effectual, fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Pray over your husband. When he's asleep, put your hand over there. Just barely touch him on his shoulder. Lord, thank you that he's going to get saved. Thank you that you're going to call him to be the man of God that he wants to be. Thank you, Father, for the man of God that I have next beside me. He doesn't act like it, but I know that he will be in Jesus' name. And roll over and go to sleep and hand him over to the Lord. Amen? Amen. Sleep well at night because God is on your side. Amen? Yes. Sleep well at night because God is on watch for your family. Sleep well at night, because it's not our worrying, it's not our fretting, it's not our scheming or complaining, but it's the prayer of a wife, it's the prayer of a woman that shakes the foundations of the earth and creates a new family for her and her heart. Amen? Yes. Wives, you matter. Your prayers matter. Your words matter. Amen? Any husband with a shred of common decency will give his right arm for a wife like that. A wife that'll pray, a wife that'll encourage, a wife that'll speak something into existence that's not there yet. A wife that will fight for her family, will not give up, but that will shed those tears, because the Bible says not one tear will go unnoticed. The Bible says even so, he stores those tears up. He remembers those tears. And our prayers, sometimes when we feel like they're just going and hitting the ceiling or coming back down, or it feels like we can't even pray anymore, we're just so disgusted that we give up, that's when you call upon someone else to encourage you, to grab your hand and walk you through it. Amen? Because we're never alone. Ladies, you have the power to be used by God to mold us to be your man as we become God's man. You have that power. Ladies, you have the chance to show people around you that your marriage is something that you cherish because you cherish your husband. Amen? We need that. We need it. And I encourage you, look, if someone else that you work with is going through something in their marriage, speak out. Ask God to give you an opportunity to speak up. You can be a blessing to someone even when you're going through stuff yourself. Now, I know Jonathan stood up here and talked about prayer. And I know that if I asked Jill if Jonathan was perfect, she would say no. And that's just the way it is. I would ask Dana the same thing. No marriage is perfect. No spouse is perfect. And so we think sometimes that we can't be a blessing to others because we're going through stuff too. Well, you know what? The key word is going through, not stopping. Amen? Amen? Because when you go through something, you don't stay there, but you move forward. Amen? You may fall down. You may bump your head. You may bruise your knees. You may mess up. You may make a fool out of yourself, but you're moving forward. You're learning from your mistakes. You're not pounding yourself over the head and saying, I'm a failure. I can never be a husband that I'm supposed to be. I can never be a wife that I'm supposed to be. Yes, you can. You can be a blessing. You can change your family by the power of prayer. Amen? I encourage you wives today, respect your husbands in spite of his shortcomings. You honor your husband as you honor God. And God has a way of honoring those who honor him. Amen? Sometimes we want to hold our prayers back and our praise back until God proves that he's faithful to us. That's an enormous mistake. Because we are to praise God despite how we feel, despite our circumstances, despite anything else that's going on in our life. Why? Because God is righteous and he's holy and he's worthy of our praise. And so whenever we're going through the fire in our marriage, when we're going through the fire concerning our marriage, know this, you're not alone. And you're the most powerful when you're on your knees. You're the most powerful and effective for your family when you're on your knees praying over your spouse, praying over your children, praying over your marriage, because no one else can pray effectively for your marriage like you can. No one else on the face of the earth is more passionate about your marriage than you are. No one else on the face of this earth is invested into that person sitting beside you than you are. And so I encourage you today, ladies, respect your husbands. Pray over them, encourage them, strengthen them, build them up, and not tear them down. Amen? Let's all stand up this morning. This morning, I want to bless you. I want to pray over you today. If you're a guest with us today, I am so glad that you are here. I pray God challenged you. I pray that you heard the revelation of God's word today. And I hope you felt welcome. And today, also listen, the way we get in contact with you, the way we get to know you, fill out those cards and leave it on the table back there. Love to get to know you, all right? Love to get to share my heart with you. And I believe that if you go to a church and you feel like that you found a place to go, you should know who your pastor is. You should know who his wife is. You should know their heart. You should know what direction they are going in and what they believe and why. And so I encourage you to do that. Fill that out and put it back there, and usher will take it from you. So, but let's pray. I want to pray over you guys today. Husbands, take your wives, take your husbands by the hand. If you don't have your husband here today, find someone beside you. Let's pray. Father, I come before you this morning and I thank you so much for the power and the institution of marriage. I thank you, Father, that besides you, a husband and wife should be the closest thing on the face of the earth. Lord, marriage was not conceived in the heart of legislators or man, but it was conceived in the very heart of God. And I pray this morning, Lord, if there are families here this morning that are weary and fighting, weary and can't see an end to it, I pray, Father, that you would strengthen them and lift them up in Jesus' name. Encourage them. Encourage them. Give them hope in Jesus' name. I pray over the wives and mothers here today, God, that you would bless them. I pray, Father, that, Lord, if there are wives here today that may need to repent over maybe manipulation or scheming or bickering or just spewing negativity over their husbands, I pray, Father, that they make a change today and choose to bless instead of curse. That they would begin to pray over their families and over their husbands. That they would be the men of God that you have created us to be. Father, I pray that you would give them courage and tenacity. Courage and tenacity in Jesus' name. Give them the strength and the courage to respect, Lord. To give over control. Father, I thank you again for the awesome privilege of speaking your word today. Today, with everybody's head bowed and eyes closed, if you don't know the God that I've been talking about today, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior, I've got good news for you. Your life can be changed in a matter of a moment. Today, if you don't know Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, you say, Pastor, I'm not married. Maybe I am married, but I don't know the Lord. I'm not a Christian, and I want the Lord in my life. I want Him governing my life. If that's you today, I want you to raise your hand and just put it down so that I can see it. Raise it up and put it down so that I can see it. Okay. Anybody else? Anybody else? So what I'm going to do, I want us to pray together this morning. Pray with me. Father God, I come to you today, and I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. I give you my hurts. I give you my will. And I choose today to obey you faithfully. Teach me, Lord, all of your ways as I try to serve you faithfully. In Jesus' name. Now, Father, I pray over those that raised their hand. I ask, Lord, that you would begin to speak in their life peace and blessing, Lord. Knowing that you are their Lord and Savior, I pray that you would govern over them, watch over them, keep them, Lord. And Father, I covet as their pastor and as their home church to encourage, to edify, to build them up, and to build them up into the men and women of God that you have called them to be. So Father, we thank you, we praise you for the souls that were saved here today. God, may you bless them. In Jesus' name, amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. Amen.